Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there on Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Good morning, good afternoon, or evening. Welcome or welcome back. Today, I actually had recorded some content for an out of cycle. It occurred to me that it didn't make sense to do the out of cycle. I wanted to wait, let the events play themselves out, which created the opportunity to release this as a full-on episode. That's what I'm going to do. After the jump, we'll do the usuals in terms of numbers, and then we'll get to the pre-recorded contents ready to go. Already ready to go, and I'll get this out the dope. That rhymes. So, a personal, quick personal side note update. And it goes to what I'm going to be talking about later, but just for those that are interested, I actually created my own crypto wallet. I built it and I've been testing. I've tested it on multiple devices. I bought a cheapy iPhone just for the testing of the thing. I don't use it as a phone. I just need to test the experience on something other than Android. Because I have iPad, but I needed the phone size to make sure that it played nice there. It works really, really well. Works really well on Android, works on the tablets. So I'm good. It's really good. And I'm doing some enhancements now and improvements to get that out the door. So I'm going to be talking about that here soon. Let's go ahead and talk some numbers real quick first. CoinDesk.com or CoinMarketCap.com, whichever is your pleasure. We're going to zoom out to the month chart, starting with Bitcoin. Bitcoin currently hovering around the 77,000 mark as I record this. It was running up and people kept saying, all right, we're past the worst of it. And those listening to me here, CryptoTalk.fm, for an extended period heard me say, I don't see that. I see a soft up, but we might go back down. And I still maintained $66,000 was a target. I just wasn't sure. But there's still significant sell pressure. There's still some hesitancy with respect to all the different things going on at the world stage. So Bitcoin's now gone slightly back down, but it looks like an upward trend. It just doesn't look like a strong upward. And it's going to have some pressure. It's not going to have an easy time of it. And I think we've got a ways to go. Ethereum on the flip, on the month chart, currently hovering around the $2,000, just shy of $2,200 mark. Same type of pattern as we see with Bitcoin. It's up, but it's not strong up and looks like, in fact, Ethereum looks like it's more prone to go down than Bitcoin is from my lens. I don't have much else to talk about with that because I think that we're going to go through a couple more weeks of this middling ground where it's kind of up and down and up and down. And there's not very much strong to be had, regardless of how much sailor's going to buy, right? It's what you're seeing. So for the remainder of the episode, as I mentioned, I'm going to be talking about what I did. And if you are interested, by the way, let me do this as a quick update. I didn't get any information from anybody about my proposal, which is fine. If nobody wants it, it's cool. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not trying to pressure, but it seems like nobody wants a free Steam game, so I will not be doing the giveaway. Side note. Separate, the note was I went ahead, built this dude, this wallet. Works on pretty much any device you can think of. Does all sorts of fancy stuff. I'm tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. I even integrated Change Now, which I said I was going to do. And you'll hear it in the audio saying it was on deck to do it. I got it done because I forgot that I had already had an integration account with Change Now. So I got a Change Now widget. I tested it straight from the app and it works great. So I have two-way swaps. I have the straight up swap, which is 0x, and I have a Change Now swap. I had all sorts of stuff. I had Li.Fi, I had Rango. They didn't work as well. I'm going to look into Liquid Mesh because I think highly of Liquid Mesh if they have some sort of a widget. But I'm satisfied with what I got is the point. I'm going to be tweaking and tweaking. I may never stop, but I want to get it to a solid point. And then there will be an offering. The offering is for people to help test and provide some feedback. And if I can get it to a point of strong, you know, other suggestions, stability, etc. If I can get to that point, the nice thing is I don't have to go to an app store at all with it. It can load on your device without the need for an app store. That means I don't have to deal with Apple censorship. I don't have to deal with Google's crap. I can just do it on my own business because it's open like that. B's like that sometimes, so I control the rhymes. So I'm excited, at least for what it potentially means. And I'm excited about if I can pull in the token that I created, which is something of a plan on deck. That ties to the membership. That ties to getting everything where I want it to be. I got to think through exactly what I want that to look like. So without further ado, more information that I recorded this weekend about what I did. I did a thing. I did a thing out of mostly frustration, but also because I had to prove a point. So I'm going to be branching two different ways in today's Out of Cycle, because I think it's important. I think it's critical that we go through the exercise. So let's start with branch number one, the frustration. The frustration of cryptocurrency wallets. I have to give you some history. I started my journey with Exodus Wallet. Still out there. I like it, but it's flawed. First of all, I am not a dark mode fan. I think dark mode is horrible for your eyes, especially because I'm old as dirt. And it's hard for me to see that. I need light coming at my eyes so that I can see and make out text, especially because small form text. I use a computer. I don't have the automobile phone, what's and all that nonsense like you young kids do. I use a good old computer, nice, beautiful screen. I can see things, okay? So Exodus works on computer, it works on mobile. So it's not about device, it's just, it's ugly, frankly, but powerful. And that's where I started. And I was getting into SHIB at the time, but I kind of grew out of Exodus because there were things I just couldn't do. Mind you, back at that time, the networks, the various blockchains were not evolved. We still had the Beacon Chain. We still had some of the proof of work on Ethereum. Things were a different stance. Because of the changes over time, I felt like Exodus didn't keep up. This is my opinion. Felt like it didn't keep up. I went to, at the time, Coinbase Wallet. Cleaner interface. Seemed like it was easier to use. I was a Coinbase customer at the time. Okay, so I can probably work this. Let's see what we can do. Coinbase Wallet was limited for some stuff, but not for the stuff I cared about. Like, you couldn't really do the Binance Smart Chain hardly at all on it at the time. But I could do Ethereum, which is where I mostly did my trades at the time, largely around the scam known as Saitama. And I made money on it, but it was still a scam. Let's just be clear here. Leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event. And proof of work Ethereum meant $100 to do trades. It was a bad time. That was Coinbase Wallet. So now I realized, okay, there's opportunities on the Binance Smart Chain. But I need to get out of Coinbase Wallet because I couldn't, you know, it just wasn't going to work. So I was able to switch over to Trust Wallet. I'd been using Trust Wallet then ever since. And there's other ones, Alpha Wallet, I think highly of, but they kind of abandoned it for whatever the hell reason. And there's a few other ones I toyed with and I was like, Trust Wallet seems to have been, at least for me, the best of what I could get. It supported multiple chains. I could create custom things. Now, mind you, I was, again, on computer and Android at the time. I switched to iOS tablet. I still don't have mobile phones, but tablet, iOS. iOS, Apple, they do not let you do custom networks on Trust Wallet. So I couldn't do anything that was custom, but I could work Binance Smart Chain. So I was in things like Rich Quack, yes. Everrise, what a pity there. Elk, I still like Elk Finance, even though I think their people are jerk offs, but I like the project, what it is. We had the Anyflect, which these guys were idiots. You know, we had Green Chart where they gave the keys to that duck face girl. Binance Smart Chain was a wall, wall west of the time. But the bottom line is that Trust Wallet let me do pretty much whatever I wanted to do in crypto. And I was reasonably satisfied, but I still hit a ceiling because Trust Wallet, even now, sucks at certain basic things. For example, certain blockchains, I'll just throw out a random name like Blockdaq. Okay. Certain blockchains, it's hard to get the data. The data doesn't refresh like it's supposed to. You're not getting amounts consistently. You're not getting transactions consistently. You're not getting pricing consistently. You might not even get charts at all. You might not get logos, which is a different problem. It's still problematic as Trust Wallet. It just sucks in certain ways. It's good in some ways and sucks in other ways. And then recent updates, they started spamming you. They added an NFT section, which NFTs are a scam in of themselves. So all people are doing is getting NFT airdrops. I'll get to that in a second. NFT airdrops that are scams. They're putting all this perpetuals and predictive markets and all this garbage on the thing. They don't have the refined experience I'm looking for, which is at the end of the day, all it needs to do is allow me to trade the shit. Okay. So that's my frustration. Trust Wallet functionally does what I need it to do, but it's lacking in the stuff that matters. And they're adding a bunch of garbage that I don't care about. That's my beef with Trust Wallet. They don't seem to, they've lost the plot, as my friends over the pond say. So I decided, okay, I now have a valid problem statement. I have something to work off of. My problem statement is I need a crypto wallet that does what I want it to do, not what they think I want to do, and not try to be everything for everybody. I just need something that does what I want to do. And it needs to work the way it works, which means I don't care what the device is. It should work on a computer. It should work on Apple. It should work on Android without me having to think about what the fucking device is, right? So that's my problem statement. But then I found an opportunity. It's branch number two. Opportunity over here. There's a blockchain. Some people know it. BlockDAG. This blockchain allegedly is a DAG and allegedly is a layer one and all these things that are alleged. Of course, they don't publish the code. So we can't really prove it out. Now we think, can't prove it, but we think it's nothing more than an EVM ERC fork of some kind. We don't know exactly which one, but I have theories. But let's take it on face. The bottom line, there is a blockchain because we can prove that. We can prove there's a blockchain. I've proven it, but it's flawed. It's the RPCs are garbage. There's clearly no strong technical skill with what we have. Now that's because what they tried to do up front, which is UTXO, which is Bitcoin, was a catastrophic failure on the surface. It was never going to work. And so they had to rush something out, which is this EVM deal. Fine. You have a chain out there. The second part of that though, is they need to have dApps. They need to have wallets. They need to have things that support what it is that they've built. And they, at the time, we're talking about some of that stuff. There's a dapp.dagtech and that lists what they should be, but there's nothing there. It just seems like it's okay. Here's the wallets and here's some steps to do it, but not the actual application. So I'll talk about that. The point is nothing exists that is decentralized. That's my point. There are no miners in the wild. The nodes appear to be centralized from what we could tell because they're just unstable. There's no consensus. It's a shit show, right? But then the wallet. You may not have known this. There used to be a wallet called Plus Wallet out there. There was a point I called out. They had done a tweet. The official BlockDAG account did a tweet about this Plus Wallet, now named Cold Wallet, where there's supposed to be a pre-sale for Cold Wallet token. Apparently, Plus Wallet was rebranded to Cold Wallet, and it was going to be wrapped in and become the wallet for BlockDAG. Now, this was months ago. I'm pretty sure that was like November, October. Fast forward now, and Cold Wallet, the last update I saw was April of 2026. I don't know if you're paying attention, but that's almost 2 months ago now. And whatever happened on the blockchain side, and I don't know what this specifically was, but something changed. Where at one point it was fully supported. You could go in and send tokens to it, send tokens out. It showed amounts. Everything was working smooth. And then it broke to where you send tokens there and they don't show up. The amounts don't show up, which I know they're there because obviously the wallet address is on the blockchain, but the wallet does not reflect the balance correctly. So something changed inside the wallet as a result of whatever they changed in the blockchain, which I would think it's something with the RPC address. My guess, they coded a specific RPC address in Cold Wallet for Cold Wallet instead of the central. What's supposed to happen with RPC, and I don't want to get too technical, but the RPC address when you add a network should basically round robin to whatever node is ready and available. And you might have 5, 10, 15, whatever. So if you do have access to custom networks, you can actually see this. You can go to RPCs and see, okay, there's these 8 nodes available and this one's green status and this one's red status, et cetera. That's what the RPC address is supposed to do, is to help find the one that can give you the best answer. My guess is Cold Wallet Token has a hard-coded one that's jacked up and they've not done anything to fix it because they're too focused on a damn casino. Fine. Now I've got another problem statement because I bought, right? I bought some coins to prove that WeBot was legit. You can go back to that coverage. And I sent them from the exchange to Wallet. So I have them in Wallet and I have quite a few of them, but I can't transfer them because Trust Wallet wouldn't work. It wouldn't let me send. When you try to send, it wants to pick Ethereum. It doesn't recognize the blockchain network as eligible for sending. Now this, just to be clear, is a Trust Wallet bug. What Trust Wallet's trying to do is it's trying to interrogate the wallet address to assume what the network must be. That's the flaw of it. Instead of what it should do, which is just let the user tell you what network it should do and do what you need to do, which is the way it used to work. Trust Wallet used to work that way. They changed something. So I couldn't send, the point is I couldn't send any coins out of that one. So what you had to do then is go on a computer, because I was doing this from the tablet. You had to go on a computer, add the Trust Wallet extension, synchronize the two, or add the wallet, whatever, and do it on the computer side. I didn't want to have to pull out the computer just for the privilege of being able to send coins back to the exchange. That's stupid. I should be able to have it on the tablet, right? So Trust Wallet shows its problem. It's a Trust Wallet problem, but it's born from the fact that what Blockdag built is half-assed. It's not finished. It's not ready for prime time, because Trust Wallet should be able to interrogate everything clean. If everything was good with the RPCs and the consensus, everything should automatically scan clean, but something's wrong with what's going on with the Blockdag side. And so these wallets are freaking out about it. That's why Trust Wallet can't show dollar amounts, even though it's easy to interpret what the dollar amount should be, because it's not pulling the RPC information like it's supposed to. Now I got my two problem statements. Problem statement one is I can't rely on Trust Wallet for how I want to use the damn thing. Problem number two is that Blockdag is a buggy shit show. Okay. I got an inspiration. Why don't I just create my own wallet to do two things? One, to prove that Trust Wallet's lost the plot in terms of their development direction. Two, to prove that Blockdag just simply, their people suck at the tech side. Because there's people on there right now that swear up and down that Blockdag's a scam. It's fine they feel that way. I've maintained and I have history. I'm on audio. That's my backup. That is my receipts to hold me accountable, because I want you to hold me accountable of what I say, because I say it with confidence. I've said from the jump, we're talking about blistering fucking idiots. There might be some malicious intent. I don't see it. I see blistering fucking idiots. I see people that want something to succeed. I see that they're trying shit, but I see they don't know what the fuck they're doing. That's what I see. There might very well be people that are malicious behind the scenes. I'm not worried about them. Because it doesn't matter, because it's on exchanges. So if there's delivery of something and they can get price positive on exchanges, it won't matter if people are smart enough, but you still got, unfortunately, a vocal majority out there. Oh, my coins are stuck in the bonus and the compression. And it's like, fuck, dude. Why can't you ignore that? Like, literally, why can't you? I get it. You were dumb enough to throw $40,000 into the thing based on the guy standing on the moon. Why can't you just own that and say I was a dumbass and say, let me try to get my fucking money back here, okay, bro? Let me go to a dang exchange. I'll toss some money in there. It pumps up 10X. I get some money back. Boom. And at some point, I'll get my 40K back, and then I won't care. The money that's locked up, who cares? It's profit. Why can't you do that? Because there are so many weak-minded people out there. They toss way too much fucking money in a thing with no fundamentals to justify why they're doing it. Then they blame the project instead of blaming themselves for being dumbasses. So I'm going to call them at. Sorry, you're a dumbass if you put more money than you can afford to lose, because that has been the mantra since day one. Don't put more than you can afford to lose. You understand you're at risk of losing it, because that's the way it works. Does it? It sucks, yeah, but that's the way it works. So I am not absolving Blockdag of the fact that their shit sucks. I've said that. It sucks. The tech sucks. It's half baked. It's not ready. Okay. The miners have been misled. I understand. Yes. I've never said miners will show up from day one. I said, I'm probably not going to get the shit. Okay. I'm not worried about mining. I'm not worried about any of that. And I don't really care about the casino for obvious reasons. A, we can't do it. B, they're garbage games, even if you could. I'm caring about price movement of the thing, period. And I'm caring about exchanges, central and decent. When you boil it down to the core essentials, you understand your focus should simply be to get that price up. Then your job is to do trades to profit to get your money back. That's it. If you're smart enough to understand what I just said, you'll realize why. You'll answer your own question about why Leister, CryptoTalks.fm, wrote his own fucking wallet. My wallet. It pulls information Trust Wallet sucks at. Number one. Two, it natively supports the BDAG experience. Three, it shows price for the BDAG coin. It does so much that these mainstream ones can't touch. It works on any device. It doesn't matter what it is. The only device that doesn't perfectly work is Brave because it's web technology. Brave, there's something that Brave does that blocks the QR scan. That's the only thing that doesn't work. And it sucks, but everything else works fine. It works on the copy paste. It works everything else. That's a Brave browser issue because I've tested on other browsers. It works fine. Okay. How can it be then? Here's my question. How can it be that a one-man show can solve that, but BlockDAG can't with that budget? I'm going to tell you why. Leister, CryptoTalk.fm. I work tech for a living. It's what I do. I'm a business process improvement person. The problem with development, any development, you have to have vision. You have to understand where you want to end up. You have to understand the end game. The BlockDAG team doesn't understand end game. Everything is a pie in the sky that's designed to get as much money as possible. And now I'm talking an end game. Here's a good end game for a blockchain, what should be a blockchain project. A good end game for what should be a blockchain project is we want to revolutionize how money transmissions happen. That's your end game. Okay. There's like thousands of different rows of functions that make that happen. There's partnerships, there's communications, there's contracts, there's regulations, there's all sorts of layers of nonsense to make that happen. However, XRP took on the challenge. They said, that's what we want to do. And they did part of it. Bitcoin, it's decentralized. There is no central authority pushing to do it. People just made it happen, but it's really not because they're transitioning it to fiat at some layer. You have to have the goal. What's that real end game? BlockDAG has never had that. They sold you on the ability of a DAG, but for what? All they say is, well, finance, they're giving all these use cases, right? That's not an end game. That's okay. We can do these things as a result of DAG, but they didn't have the real end game. What's the real end game? They never had it. They certainly don't have it now. Everything now is let's figure out ways to get money out of people. That's what you have. That's what it is now. Okay. So I just said, if that's your focus is to figure out how to get money out of people, my focus is to figure out how to get money out of you. Because that's all you can do, because that's all that's there. That's why my wallet works, because that's all it needed to do is allow me to get money out of them. So now my wallet's there. It works. I'm running it. Fine. I'm going through testing. The other piece BlockDAG sucks at, they are running on a skeleton crew. That's clear. It's more than just technical skill. It's more than just awareness of the outcome. You have to have people who understand how to test. Regress test, unit test, smoke test. You have to understand people who can quality assure. It's a quality experience. You have to have people who have good memory about what was promised to people. But most importantly, I'd say the number one criticality. You have to have somebody that thinks like a user. If I'm a user of the product, what would annoy me? What would piss me off? What's stupid? What's just broken? That thought process, it should be driving your design. If all you have is just technical people that are just putting shit up there, for what? You don't have a user use case. The one thing I'll positive say about Steve Jobs, he tried to put himself in the mind of a user. If I'm a user, what works? What seems like it works? What might work? We don't know. We have to give it to the user, but I think this would be good. I think this would be cool. And what did he do? He revolutionized touchscreen computing. That's what he did. We can learn from the lessons of the past to drive the future. And then it doesn't matter if you use AI, because AI can just focus on the functionals guided by your vision. But the last piece, which is second in criticality, I would say, taking that mindset, user, thinking like a user. Second, you understand how to make something happen. And your end goal, you go through this battery of questions in your mind. You have to understand how to then tell, if you're going to use AI, you have to understand how to tell AI what to specifically do. You can't let it go rogue, meaning you can't let it do on its own, unguided. And you have to be able to sense when it got shit wrong, what it got wrong, because you have to tell it what it got wrong and why it's wrong. Because if you don't, you'll get into development hell. You might ask how that's different from a human. The human, if they've been trained properly, has been taught by experience to look for those pitfalls. For example, in AI, it doesn't fully understand the concept of APIs. It knows how to do it, but it doesn't understand the concept of APIs. APIs are going to be different for every service that you consume. The endpoint it's referred to is going to be different for every service that you consume. Since we understand it's different, that means the first thing you have to do is find the endpoint. Then you got to understand how to consume the endpoint. Then you got to understand, is there a cost to the endpoint? Then you got to understand, is there rate limiting to the endpoint? Then you got to understand the syntax to implement the endpoint properly. Then you have to actually test that you're getting the response from the endpoint. You ideally should add health check. Like, I'm breaking all this down for you so you understand, I've done this. This is what I do for a living. AI doesn't go through all that. It'll just take the instruction, I need to be able to get price data from CoinGecko. It knows how to find price data from CoinGecko. It doesn't understand, well, what happens if that is down? What happens if it gives the wrong price? What is your fallback plan? What message do you show to the user when it doesn't work? If you're doing it right, you, human, need to tell AI to account for all of that, because it won't. Most humans might not. That takes a very highly skilled, competent person to be able to educate, whether AI or human, how to properly develop the application based on the user experience. The user experience guides the development. That, I just said, that's the flaw of Blockdaq. Their development is not around user experience. Their experience is around what they think is going to make money, period. Because the guy said on video to your face, quote, we're all here to make money. You got to understand the pitfalls of that strategy. It sounds good, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. In fact, in this case, there's two wrong ways. Wrong way number one is the consensus. Going to war when I told those numbnuts not to go that way because you don't have a case and you're not going to beat him. The reason I knew they weren't going to beat him is because theirs was driven off emotions. Lost money instead of the ability to get your money back. You see, a rug pull, which in this case you can't prove did or didn't happen. A rug pull is developer makes money available and then makes it not available. This developer never made the money available. So was it truly a rug pull? Not by definition. We suspect that the money might have been misused. Misuse of funds is a problem in the regulated sector, not the unregulated Wild Wild West that's crypto. So that means that you have to take a smarter approach to try to beat them. So that's why it went wrong for those from the consensus. That's why you went wrong. And when you didn't listen to me, when I warned you that it wasn't going to work, this is the net effect. The net effect is things are being created. Things are showing up. It can be traded. You can make money, which completely defeats your narrative and makes you look like idiots, which I knew was going to happen. You have to let failure show itself, then prove why it was malicious in intent, and you didn't do that. The second wrong, as I said, they're not focused on the user experience at all. They're not thinking about how users use the product at all. They're thinking about what it takes to get money to generate. And theirs, it's just money. I have no problem with a focus of money. I just said, you got to do it right, man. It still has to be sustainable. Otherwise, how's it different from a pump and dump? Because countless projects have been able to generate money, but they're essentially pump and dumps. Nobody wants a pump and dump because that's a waste. That's Dogecoin, right? WorldCoin. Nobody wants that. It should be sustained. And we can't go off the excuse of years when it's already been close to 3 or 4 now. You can't. You have to open up and say, our strategy was jacked up. We lack user focus and user awareness in our development. In summary, I decided just to prove the narrative, because I, 300 bucks all told to create what I created. It's $300 to create a wallet that's by far superior for the core essentials of crypto management, by far superior to anything else out there. It's not designed to do everything for everybody. It's designed to get to the fundamental basics in a way that doesn't care about your device, in a way that's fast and efficient and clean in interface, and it supports the BDAG experience natively, including trades. And the sky's the limit of the other stuff that I could add. This is what I created. For those curious, my next step, there's two. One, I'd like to get Change Now integrated. Why? Change Now lets you swap anything to anything that Change Now supports. That means you can swap anything. You don't have to worry about, you don't even have to worry about connecting your wallet. It'll communicate the wallet in and outs for you. All you have to do is give it the recipient wallet or send, whichever way it is. You just give it that and it handles it on the back end. It's clean. It's slick. I don't know why more wallets don't integrate with that. I plan to do that. I have a 0x integration for it, but I don't want to depend on 0x. I thought about Liquid Mesh. I'm going to look into it and create multiple protocols. That way you can kind of negotiate on price. But Change Now, I think, is the end game. That's one. Two, I'm going to look into DAG tech stuff and see if I can build one DApp. Just one. I don't know which one. I'm going to try. And if I can, that'll further disprove the narrative. And I think the team would say, well, we're not here to create those apps. We're here to create we're here to create the mechanism for you to create the apps, but we want you to create the apps. I believe you should create at least one. Why? Prove that you can. You need to increase confidence. So prove that you can. Create one. Just create one that's yours to inspire others to do it. And release the source code for everything we're talking about. Release the source code for the chain, source code for the nodes, source code for what you create to show transparency of all this stuff. Because that's what you still lack, transparency. But you should be ashamed that I can spin up an app, a wallet, where you failed to do it after promising to do it for months. You should be ashamed of that. And that's partly why, is I get benefit because I needed it anyway, but you should not have where somebody can create a wallet that's better than yours fresh out the gate in $300, right? Because you said you'd have your own wallet and you still don't. I know you're talking Super App. I know you're talking X1 Miner. These are stovepipe solutions. I'm talking just a wallet, just a wallet. You said you were going to do it. You've abandoned Cold Wallet. Why? Why don't you fix it? Why don't you rework it? Why don't you redesign it from the ground up? Because it kind of sucks, frankly. These are things that I'm trying to encourage, because again, I'm trying to help. If you are legit, you think you are trying to help. It's simple. You should not be overcome by random people. You should be doing more than they do to show that you have that technical competency. But then I realized it's not even about technical competency. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. You lack the user experience knowledge. You lack visibility into what users need and want. You lack a use case. Not a use case you fabricated. I'm talking where users tell you, this is what I want to do. You lack that. Even if you had it, you don't know how to make it happen, putting yourself in the mind of that user. That's what you suck at, but that's what I'm good at. So once again, CEO, free of charge, the invite's been out there. You know how to reach me. I'm not hard to find. You know how to reach me. But my questions will be tough questions because they must be. It's not going to be anything you haven't heard, but I will expect a solid answer, not a fluffy one. Because the whole point is transparency. Transparency means that you have to own up to stuff. And again, I would like to see you guys do more than what you are doing. Don't let random people outdo you. Because the more that you do, transparently, the more you defeat the consensus, the very organization that you created and turned into the monster that it is.